refining the burning process of crude oil to make the system as efficient as possible. But why do we have to use fossil fuels at all? Biofuels have been around for the last few decades, and they can be used in pre-existing engines. But if biofuels are so great, why do they only make up a tiny fraction of the fuel we currently put in our tanks? Let's talk to Chris Chuck. He's a researcher from the University of Bath. Hi, Chris.
Hi there.
So what are biofuels? What are these things?
Well, simply, a biofuel is just a liquid fuel where most of the molecule, if not all the molecule, is derived from a source of biomass. Now, this biomass could be vegetable oil, could be sugars, plants, grass, waste food, any type of plant biomass.
When we hear about people running their cars off old chip fat, that's a biofuel.
That's absolutely a biofuel. Yeah, that was one of the early ones.
And in places like Brazil as well, they run cars off ethanol, and that's derived from plants as well.
So in Brazil, they're using sugarcane. They're growing sugarcane in their vast areas of lands that are suitable for that and turn it into ethanol. It's one of the most successful biofuels on the market.
So we've got all these different biofuels from different sources. What are some of these sources? You've talked briefly about some of them. And are they all the same? Are they just all equivalently good or bad?
There's a great diversity of biofuels either on the market or being developed at the moment. Some of them are to fit the role of petrol, diesel, or aviation fuel, which all have different properties. In other kinds, it's where you actually derive them from. So we really have two definitions of a biofuel, whether it's a first-generation biofuel made from food matter or it's grown on land needed for food production, or second-generation biofuels where the biomass doesn't compete with food. And this is a much, much bigger resource. And so we come to talk about agricultural residues, forestry waste, waste food, even algae and seaweed to produce biofuels from this. Now, because they're so diverse, these different types of biomass, we have to use lots of different chemical and biological processes to make the fuels from them.
And does this mean that actually they're maybe not as efficient as just drilling the stuff out of the ground?
Yes, it very much depends on what land area you've got to grow them on, what's in place in terms of the infrastructure to make them. For example, bioethanol from sugarcane has been very well developed in Brazil and is actually a lot of the time, depending on the cost of a barrel of oil, cheaper than petrol on the market there as well. But most of what's limiting biofuel manufacture at the moment is actually the cost implications.
There is this question, though, because it's being estimated that the fossil fuels that we have for car fuels and that kind of thing, we've probably got a little bit more than we thought we had. And if the idea is that eventually we'll all be running on electric cars, are biofuels really more like just a stopgap? Do we need to put time and effort and money into making them a replacement for fossil fuels?
Well, this is quite a common misconception. Now, a lot of people have been looking at what our energy mix will look like in 2050 or even 2100. Everyone disagrees entirely on the numbers and what it's going to be made up of. But one thing that all of these major models have suggested is that we need to increase the amount of biofuels being used. And if you take a rough average, it's approximately about 50% of our transport fuel will need to come from biofuels by 2050. And our electricity networks and other forms of energy generation just can't kind of meet that gap.
Obviously, things like plants use carbon dioxide to grow. That's taking carbon dioxide out of the environment. Is that alteration of the carbon balance something that we should be taking into account, almost regardless of the cost?
Absolutely. So it's very complex to work out whether a biofuel actually is sustainable, actually is reducing carbon emissions on using fossil fuels. And in the last few decades, we've been developing the tools, mainly life cycle assessment, to be able to make those statements, to be able to understand that. And so we really need drivers to push the biofuels, which are showing very big promise in reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Because I guess they're taking the carbon dioxide in from the environment, you're still burning it and putting back out, but that's almost like a closed loop, I suppose.
Absolutely. But then you have to work out how much energy are you putting in transporting the biomass, drying the biomass, using the fertilizers even to grow the crops. So you can have enormous energy inputs without really counting them unless you're careful. It's very important that you kind of assess exactly how a biofuel is made, from growing it in the field all the way to the emissions when you've burnt it.
And just very briefly, are biofuels already out there? You know, could I be putting biofuels in my car or using biofuels in a way that I maybe don't realise?
Absolutely. About 5% of total transport fuel in the world is now biofuel. But ultimately, you are using them, and you probably use them today already. They're doped into fuels at a few percent just to get them into the infrastructure. And so there's not a great choice that you can say, I'm going to use biofuel or not use biofuel. It's more a percentage in the fuels that we already use.
Thanks very much. That's Chris Chuck. He's a researcher from the University of Bath. And judging by its smell, I've always wondered if my car does run on chip fat.